Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Thriving Minds Podcast with your host, Walter Parada, where we strive to provide you with empowering talks so you can live to thrive. I hope you find yourself in the right frame of mind, focusing on all the things within your control. All right, so today's episode is about reconnecting with an estranged family member. So if you have a family member that you've distanced yourself from for whatever reason and are looking or even just thinking about reaching out to them, it's probably worthwhile to do so. Now, obviously, there's going to be some doubts coming up where we're hesitant because of whatever past issues occurred, and we want to avoid reliving those uncomfortable feelings or moments. You might feel that you're not ready for it, and know that that's okay. Honestly, we're not fully ready for many of the things that we take on, never fully prepared for the things that we go through. But having that mental framework where you're at least thinking out the scenarios of what could happen is already getting you acclimated to things. For several years now, I've been thinking about reconnecting with my dad after I haven't seen him and even talked to him in about 15 years. I kind of just abruptly cut ties with him in about my early 20s. And even before that, we were starting to drift apart. And he had a set of choices that really impacted his life for the worse. After my mom divorced him, and I think I was about 10 years old at the time, I remember my mom telling me that they were going to get a divorce. And my feelings of it was just totally okay with it because my dad was a heavy drinker and my mom got tired of it. He wasn't belligerent or violent in any way, but he just wasn't present. He'd go out and drink with his buddies, or if he was at home, he'd be drinking, you know, right in front of the house. And I think my mom got to the point where she didn't want to see her kids seeing that. She wanted them to be exposed to good things, and that's not an environment that suited us for a thriving future. So the writing was all over the walls. It was pretty evident. Even at that young age, I kind of knew where things were going. But then, even after my parents separated, my dad would still take us out every weekend, and we would do different things, you know, go to the movies, the mall, go to the park. And there was this local flea market called the Swap Shop, and there was a bunch of outside vendors that sold different secondhand goods, you know, clothing, toys, video games, and all that jazz. But inside there was a section where they had this big video arcade, and they'd also have a circus on the weekend. So that was one of our favorite spots that we like to spend a lot of time at. On occasions, we would sleep over his apartment early on during the separation to kind of ease the transition. And it worked out really well because during the week, we got to see a great role model in my mom, setting a good foundation for us, and we didn't have to be exposed to, you know, some of the not great things of my dad. So we got to see the good parts of my dad on the weekend. So this separation was really good, and I think I kind of understood that at the moment. It served us well. My mom could grow into the person that she is today, and my dad can reflect on what happened. Maybe it helped him, and maybe it didn't. Obviously, he was still a big part of our lives, and we enjoyed spending that time with him, so we got to see the good parts of him without having to see all the heavy drinking and him setting a bad example for us. So my mom is courageous for making that move, and this was in the late 90s, and even though divorce was becoming a lot more accepted in society, amongst our family and friends, it was still frowned upon. They still had this image of the ideal family needing to be the mother and father married so the kids can have good role models. But if there's an internal struggle where both sides are unhappy, or at least one side is unhappy, it really sets a bad example for the kids in that it's about putting up with things that you're not happy with. So that was a great move on my mom's part. You know, it showed us that we need to cut things out of our lives that are not serving us well. And then there was a turning point where I started to drift from my father when he started dating this one woman. And right off the bat, she was selfish and just very childish. There was a significant moment where she moved into his apartment and she was distant from us, where we'd come over, she wouldn't say hi to us. She would just be in a room or, you know, be in another room avoiding us. And then that pivotal moment came when she burned many of our childhood pictures of my sister and I growing up. You know, I had so many fond memories of just looking at those photos each time I'd go over to my dad's place. There were just so many photos that brought so much joy seeing my sister when she was really young. I was really active around her, pushing around her stroller, you know, helping her walk and so many different things. Pictures of my sister with my hockey stick when I used to play hockey. You know, pictures of my Ninja Turtles birthday party. I must have been only like 5 or 6 at the time. And all our family friends were there. My mom made this big Ninja Turtle cake. And I had a Ninja Turtle pinata. Those pictures of me opening up my presents on that one birthday party. And I don't have any of those toys anymore. So those pictures were a way to reconnect to a time that, man, was just so really amazing. There was even a picture of my mom and I riding an elephant at the swap shop. And my mom really dislikes animals that have a strong smell. And elephants have a strong, musky odor. So I remember asking her several times to go on with me. And eventually she agreed. And I remember just a picture of us both elated. And that's all gone. When my mom told me about what she did, I just remember quietly being furious that it started to affect how I saw my dad. And that was kind of the starting point where I started to lose respect for him. Obviously, my dad was super angry about her burning the photos, but just the fact that he made poor judgment in allowing that woman to be a part of his life, her actions just showed pettiness and nastiness that made me associate my dad with that, even though he's not. And I never told him this. I just would show him by my actions. So when I was younger, I would just keep things to myself. And I think this kind of contributed to that. So after this, he was still present in my life. And I remember when I first started playing Little League football in middle school, he was the one that would take me to practice on occasion, take me to the games, but the relationship was just falling apart. And then in high school, I just further distanced myself. And in college, I abruptly just cut ties with him. I didn't want to speak with him anymore, didn't want to see him. So I never told him how I felt about what was going on. And we didn't have that type of open relationship. It was more like a fun buddy relationship you can talk sports with and have a good time with. He was not a mentor or a role model. And in part, I started to feel bad for him. There was just so many signs of our relationship just deteriorating. And as this was happening, I remember he would call on weekends or a few times a week. And when we speak, it'd be less and less to talk about. So the conversations got shorter and shorter, eventually just kind of the fire in the candle just, you know, gave out. Eventually, I came to the conclusion that I'm okay with my dad not being a part of my life. But recently, I come to think that maybe it's going to do us both good to reconnect. And there's an opportunity for us to grow as individuals. I got to imagine that he's not doing well. He's in his early 60s. He's made some very poor choices that led him to the situation that he's currently in. And partly, maybe that's why I've avoided him all these years. I don't want to see him in a bad state. But I think being proactive and at least getting to see him while he's alive may ease some of my concerns later on. Maybe we both have a positive impact on each other, and or maybe it doesn't. Who knows? My expectations going into this is actually just meeting with him and see how he's doing, provide some moral support. I'm not going to hash out some of the negatives I had with him, as this is not going to serve him well. And it's not going to serve me well either. This isn't the time for me to unload on him, as he's probably not doing well. So, you know, I just don't want to kick a person while they're down. Or really, I don't want to kick a person at all. I just want to explore what kind of relationship we may have. There's many different ways that this can play out, where he reprimands me for cutting him out of my life. Or maybe he doesn't even want to meet with me. Who knows? But if he does want to meet and he asks me why I didn't talk to him, why I didn't want him in my life, then I'm going to tell him, well, you know, the choices you made, especially around the woman that he was seeing at the time, was not something I wanted in my life. I wanted to see him doing well, and he wasn't, so it was better just to distance myself. It's going to be important for me to stay composed when I talk to him. Obviously, there's going to be the emotional factor of just me not seeing him in so many years. I know I got to imagine that he's aged poorly because he's a heavy drinker and he's a heavy smoker. So that's something I need to mentally prepare myself, emotionally prepare myself, as there's probably going to be a big letdown. But for sure, I'm expecting just a big disappointment in meeting with him. But I think it's going to both serve us well. Maybe it might spark a bit of optimism between us two in our respective lives. I know those wonderful experiences that I had with my dad early on, you know, when I was a kid, needs to be kept in check, because there's going to be a big drop off from how I used to see him to how I'm expecting him to be now. He very well could, in fact, be full of resentment and anger and being depressed. And that's part of the reason why I want to reconnect. He may need a moment like this to comfort some of those negative memories, and this might even help me as well. I'm sure it will. I'm really seeing this as a part of doing what's uncomfortable so we can be better off later on. So the talk that I have or the interaction I have with him could very well be ugly and nasty. And if it gets to that point, I got to remind myself to be composed, and right from the get-go, I'm going to let him know my expectations of our relationship going forward, if we even decide to have one, where we're not focused on rehashing issues from before, but instead moving on from our current state so we can be better. If that's something he's not interested in, then that's fine. At least it gives me peace of mind knowing that I tried, as opposed to just wondering what could have been. I still do care for him, just from a distance, and maybe that's why I've avoided him all these years. Damn, 15 years is a lot. So it might be a little heavy for me to even see him in whatever state he's in. I think I'm just going to update him on how my life has gone. I'm going to avoid prying too much about the situation he's in. He kind of has a tendency to play the victim role, which, you know, that really annoys and angers me. So I just got to be empathetic, but not give too much leeway where he uses me as a crutch. He really is an easygoing guy that has many admirable traits, but that's all overshadowed by just the bad choices that he's made. In actuality, he's been a really good reference point in my life of what not to do. So that has served me well in that way. I remember in high school, I vividly told myself that I'm going to try not to be like my father, which is kind of an ugly thing to say, but in part, maybe that's what's helped me. So those not so good things that he's done has served me well. It served as good life lessons for me. He's never really given me words of advice, but just through his actions, he showed me kind of what not to do so I can be better off. He was a good father to my sister and I at times, spending good quality time with us. And if you heard me on my podcast before, my reference to my dad, one of my fond memories I've had with him is he'd go to work on Saturdays on occasion, and he'd ask me before if I wanted to come with him. And I would usually tell him no. But eventually I caved in. He got me in with breakfast at McDonald's. And that first time, I think he had hotcakes or some big breakfast. And I had a sausage McMuffin with hash brown and orange juice. And I got to eat it in his break room at his workplace. And they had a big screen TV, so I got to see, so I got to watch Saturday morning cartoons on it. It was a big thing for me. Our TV wasn't as big back home. So at least I have that. Now, I just need to balance those two of not getting too nostalgic of what used to be and not too pessimistic of what I'm currently expecting to see. Sports is something that we always connected with, so that's going to be a good talking point to kind of get the conversation going. I'm thinking about meeting him at some place to eat where we can just kind of let our guard down a little bit, where we're not defensive towards each other, and we're not aggressive. And just to see how things play out. If it gets too much for either one of us to handle, then, I mean, I can walk away and I guess leave it at that. But I think it's worth seeing him while he's still alive. If the conversation starts to get destructive, then I'm going to have every intention of redirecting it, telling him that I didn't come for this. I came here for a fresh new start to see what kind of relationship we can have going forward that can better us both. If he wants to continue down that path, then I'm just going to walk away because I'm not going to accept it. And my dad, he's really a softy, so I think he's going to be respectful in that sense. But if he isn't, then that's fine. I'm not sure if an apology is going to help in this sense because really, what am I apologizing for other than not having contact with him? And that was done out of getting me away from the bad situation that he put himself in. What I could say is, I'm sorry I wasn't there for you, but let's be ready to move on. I'm here to at least reconnect, so that should say that I care about you. I'm kind of playing it out in my head, what it is that I'm going to do when I actually see him. I might just shake his hand, I might just wave. I think a hug might be a little too much. I don't know. I think a handshake is good enough. This lets him know that, hey, I'm not quite ready to pick up where we last left off. Because even though where we last left off, it was in a low place. So, and we're not going to go back to being buddy-buddy right off the start again. But for sure, I'm ready to accept him in whatever condition he's in. I think us being in each other's lives can help us learn together, to know that people can change for the better if we're open with ourselves. Like I said, I have very low expectations going into this, but at least I have boundaries set so we know what will and is not going to be tolerated. Like I said, we don't need to go into bashing each other or rehashing certain issues that we had. We can acknowledge certain things in the past, and that's just a reference point that we should use as a learning opportunity, as opposed to just holding on to resentment and anger. We all have choices. We can learn from what happened in our past, or we can cling to it and let it consume us, bringing out the worst petty parts. I'm going to choose the former. I'm going to learn from what happened. And if he starts to cling to the past, then I'm going to let him know that I'm ready to start some sort of new relationship with you. But if you're going to focus on what already happened, then maybe you're not quite ready for the relationship on my terms. When I was in high school and college, he would call constantly, and eventually it got so disappointing talking to him. I knew how I felt about him, but I didn't want to tell him. I think it would have been too much for him to have heard it, so it was kind of a way to protect him. I think maybe this is where some of my resentment comes from, not letting others know how I want to express myself to them, because I can be a bit too much at times. So I'll really scale back the thoughts that are racing through my mind. And like any of us, right, it's finding that right balance of how can we articulate ourselves in the right manner so people understand what we're trying to convey without being too much where they're turned off by it. That's the dilemma of knowing what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. And for sure, since I ventured off on this journey on my own, creating Thriving Minds, it's helped me become a lot more conscious of how to effectively communicate what I want. It's amazing how subtle journaling can be for a person long term. Even for sure, the past 2 years, I've grown tremendously. Before, I don't think I can properly express myself. But by being able to put down my thoughts into words, it's helped me become a lot more composed, keeping my emotions in check, and focusing on what the objective is. So in a case like this, where I'm reconnecting with my father, the whole objective is to establish a new relationship, a healthy one. And if it gets off course, then I'm going to redirect it. And if it doesn't go that way, then it's best that we try some other time. I think if I had a resource like Thriving Minds when I was in high school, when I was in college, I think I could have better handled my relationship with my father. Maybe I would have been more upfront about how I felt about him, how I viewed him, that could have saved us a lot of time. But at least I recognize now that I've grown so much more since then, that the value of writing down how I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, has improved my life significantly, that it's just so hard to put a price on that. How do we value peace of mind? I'm not sure that there's a clear-cut answer or a formula for this. Well, for sure, it's improved my confidence in handling what's uncomfortable, handling the challenges. It's also made me more optimistic about what is ahead. Now I'm really starting to see things as an opportunity, as opposed to just worrying about the future. I think this experience and seeing my dad, or at least reaching out to him, is just going to do me so well in the long term. And part of this is selfish in that it's going to benefit me some way, somehow, but it might even benefit him. I'm not quite sure, but let's find out. I'm not thinking so much that this experience is really going to be damaging at all. It's more just an opportunity to learn from it. So if it turns out really poorly, I need to identify why I went that way, how I handled myself, and what I could have done better. Not so much what he needed to do or what he didn't do. Because that's just playing the blame game, deflecting responsibility that I need to take. And ultimately, that just makes me less accountable, less in control of what I can do to make a difference. If you've been estranged from a certain family member, whether it's parents, brothers, sisters, cousins, whatever it might be, or just even friends in general, that you consider them like family, think it over of why you should reconnect with them. Write it out in your journal, talk it out to a friend, talk it out to a person you really trust, so you can unravel your thoughts and your feelings. Talk it out to yourself. Talk it out in the mirror. Obviously, it's going to hurt. It's going to be uncomfortable to rehash certain things. So have a game plan of how you're going to handle that. Sometimes the difficulties that we all might have might be related to some of the issues we have with certain relationships. So reflect on them and see some of those areas that you might be struggling with. And eventually you'll find answers on how to better manage that. It hurts when your loved ones are struggling through certain things, and sometimes the easiest thing is to avoid them instead of being there for them. And I think that's what I did. I took the easy way out. I'm not trying to excuse my actions, but it's usually the child that seeks support from their parents and not the other way around. Maybe what I needed to do was just be in his life enough to offer support, to know he's not alone, and maybe I just wasn't ready, not mature enough to take that on. It was kind of abrupt in a cold way I handled it, but in the moment, I felt that I was doing what was right for me. Who knows? So really consider reconnecting with that estranged family member and do it in a series of first writing down your thoughts, your feelings, the issues you have with them, how you were back then, how you are now, and how you're going to handle yourself going forward. Their actions are not within your control. So focus on the things that you can control, which is how you behave and the things that you say. What you're probably going to get out of this whole experience is just a level of mental clarity, of a certain level of liberation where you're emotionally grown. And I know that's what I'm hoping to get out of all of this. Obviously, I still want to see my dad in a better place, but I don't have the control to make the choices for him. So I'm just going to have to be there to support him from a distance. And we'll see how the relationship unfolds, if we have one at all. My natural tendency is really not to see him at all, but that's just not going to do me good. So I got to do what's uncomfortable now so we both can be potentially in a better spot later on. I'll give an update on how the interaction goes with my dad if we even meet or even if we talk. So stay tuned. I hope you enjoy this episode. If you're interested in more topics like this, become a Thriving Minds member at www.thrivingminds.live. It's your personal development resource so you can build that right mindset so you can live to thrive. All right. Until next time.